WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
The Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation regained sovereignty over portions of its homelands this month, making Illinois home to its first federally recognized tribal nation. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Years ago, the U.S. government illegally sold off nearly 1,300 acres of the Chauvenet Reservation, which is in what we now call DeKalb County. In the past 2 decades, the Prairie Band has purchased 1/10 of that land back. And this month, the U.S. Department of the Interior placed those 130 acres into a trust, formally confirming the tribe's ability to govern portions of its homelands. But the Prairie Band's efforts to regain sovereignty over the entire Chauvenet Reservation are ongoing. I sat down with the tribal nation's chairman, Joseph Seek Rupnik, for more on that process and what this moment feels like for him.
It's kind of ironic that the land, which was given to my grandfather 4 generations removed, was held by the U.S. government, who eventually sold it illegally. Then we had to repurchase it back, only to convey that land back to the federal government again to hold it for us. So that's just the irony of Indian law and what it means for that land. But it was a surreal moment for me.
Well, I want you to walk us through a little more of the history, Chairman, and talk about why this land is so sacred and so important.
This goes back to our original stories and where our folks have passed down that we've occupied that land for thousands of years. Many of our ancestors are interned there. Part of this land was holds significant religious value to us, cultural value to us. Our roots are there. And when the President Jackson signed the Indian Removal Act, forcing us to remove west of the Mississippi, we left a lot of that behind. Under this treaty, the Treaty of Prairie du Chien and the Treaty of Chicago, where we ceded 5 million acres of land, Congress carved out those two sections of land for my grandfather. And for that, you know, I think it was all due in part to some of the actions that he had taken during the Black Hawk Wars. That was supposed to be held for him and his descendants forever. Once the nation was moved to Kansas, then eventually the General Land Office sold that once he came down to visit us. And we've been fighting for that ever since.
You talked a lot there about the cultural and religious value. Now tell us the significance, Chairman, given all of that, of regaining this sovereignty.
You know, ever since I was a little boy, my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles have always talked about knowing what's in the treaties, what we still have, what we gave up. And that part of our responsibility as tribal leaders, as members of the nation, is to secure and hold the federal government accountable to those treaty obligations that they signed in good faith, and to make sure that they fulfill their trust responsibility to the tribal nations. So by being able to get that land back into trust under our jurisdiction, under our control, is a huge win, not only for the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation, but for Indian country overall.
Say more on that. What will sovereignty allow the Prairie Band to do?
Well, sovereignty will allow us to enforce our own laws on the land that we have there. That land is held under trust by the U.S. government, and then we have civil regulatory authority over all of that land that's there now, and we intend to enforce it. So some of that could be, you know, part of the environmental monitoring. Nation has very strict laws on, you know, the use of pesticides and herbicides.
Yeah.
We intend to make sure that those that are on or using our lands follow our nation's laws to make sure that we keep the environment safe.
I hear this is a personal moment for you as well, Chairman. You are a fourth generation great-grandson of Chief Chauvenet, right? So talk about what this moment means for you and your family.
I couldn't believe it. My family has been going after this land, you know, ever since it was illegally sold on us. And really, the push kind of came from my mother, who was chairperson 35 years ago, where she really started forcing the federal government to take action on this land and to abide by their treaty obligations. After, you know, 35 years, I was finally able to get that done. And so this is, again, a huge win for the nation and Indian country as a whole.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
So, Chairman, you're talking with us right now from the Prairie Band's headquarters in Kansas. Describe the history of the tribe being pushed out of the Illinois area.
You know, we were forcibly removed after the Treaty of Chicago, where we ceded 5 million acres of land to the U.S. government. 1834, President Jackson at that time signed the Indian Removal Act, forcing all Indians east of the Mississippi to move west. During that time, we were held at gunpoint to move. And rounded up and gathered. We eventually made our way to Council Bluffs, Iowa. And then finally, we bought a 30-by-30-mile reservation in Kansas for us and the nation to have forever. Around 1850, Chief Chauvenet came down to visit us. Mm-hmm. And at that time, the U.S. government sold that land that he was on, or they claimed he abandoned it. And we've been fighting for that land ever since then.
And when you say fighting for that land, I mean, what did that entail? What were the efforts to stay connected to that homeland?
Well, part of that was, you know, trying to file different court actions, hoping that Congress would hear our concerns and our complaints. And the reason why I say that it was sold illegally, one of the first laws that the United States Congress had passed was called the Non-Intercourse Act, or is called the Indian Non-Intercourse Act. And in that act, it says that no purchase or grants of lands or any other title claim hereof from any Indians or nations or tribes of Indians within the bounds of the United States shall be of any validity in law or equity unless it was made by treaty and entered into pursuant to the Constitution. So the U.S. Congress has to establish or disestablish or any Indian reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And unless that happens, then that reservation still exists. And then this goes back to the same claim of the McGirt versus Oklahoma, where the Supreme Court just recently ruled in 2020, that unless Congress disestablishes that reservation, it still exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only portions of this land were put into trust, as you pointed out. What more would you like to see, Chairman?
Well, obviously, we would like to receive all of the land that was initially held there by treaty. But we do have a couple of bills in Congress, and those ones there would clear the title for those residents living on the reservation today. Many reservations are checkerboarded, what they call checkerboarded, held by non-tribal people that are within the boundaries of the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Senate Bill 1492 would actually clear their titles. And we would hope in that same piece of legislation that we would be able to purchase land and immediately place it into trust so that we are made whole again. But on the other side, the state of Illinois, I think they have recognized the grave injustice that was done to the Prairie Band Potawatomi.
Mm-hmm.
And are trying to correct that historical wrong. And some of the Illinois Congress have supported House Bill 4718 that would convey the entire state park over to the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation.
What's the status of that bill?
Right now, we're waiting on whether we're going to get a hearing. I hope to hear something here in the next couple of days. Everyone that I've talked to in Springfield seems supportive of the idea.
You said something a moment ago when I asked you about this moment and sort of putting it in perspective for yourself and for your family. And it struck me when you said, I couldn't believe it. You kind of repeated that. I wonder, had you given up, Chairman? Had you given up hope that this would happen?
Unless ink is on paper, I don't hold my breath. And things change, politics change, individuals that were once supportive are voted out, and they change. So after 180 years, it's kind of hard to say that you're very hopeful on any of those changes that happen.
You also said that this holds significance not just for you, not just for your tribal nation, but Indian country as a whole. What does this moment represent for the overall movement for land back?
Many states across the country are starting to return some of those different lands back to tribal nations. And we have to thank the current administration and those folks in there recognizing that those treaties, as in Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, are the supreme law of the land, and that those lands that were carved out for those sovereign nation Indian tribes
mm-hmm.
should be under their tribal control. So a lot of credit goes to the administration right now, and Illinois, too, because they are trying to correct that historical wrong. So there has been a lot of time and effort put into this. I'm only thankful that I was able to be sitting in the chairman's seat when all of this happened, and hopefully we can continue on with other great successes in the state.
We'll leave it there. That is Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation Chairman Joseph Zeke Rupnik. Congratulations again, and thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Max Lubers, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. Don't forget to check out our podcast for the latest in local and statewide news that you need to know about. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.